Thank you. This morning, our scripture lesson as we prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the Civil War, Philip Brooks, who was an Episcopal priest in Philadelphia, was on the brink of burnout. For during the Civil War, he had faithfully served the Union soldiers. Following the end of the war, he was completely exhausted in every way. His church, noticing this, gave him a year's leave of absence in 1865. And so he traveled some. And his travels brought him to the Holy Land just before Christmas. And of course, in 1865, the Holy Land would not have been near as commercialized as it is today. And to get to Bethlehem, they had to go by horseback, of course, and it took them 2 hours to ride on horseback to get to Bethlehem. Now, the next time some of you think I'm long-winded at times, I want you to remember what I'm about to say about the worship service he attended. After riding on horseback for 2 hours to get to Bethlehem, they had a 5-hour worship service. So the next time you think I'm long-winded, just think about Philip Brooks and his 5-hour worship service, and you might feel blessed.
I'll get on my horse and go.
You probably wouldn't be the only one. I don't think I could talk 5 hours. But in this process, Brooks reflected on what had transpired in his life, particularly the last 4 years. And then the service that he had participated in. And he penned a poem, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." 3 years later, he asked his church organist to put it to music, which he obviously did. The song was first sang as a carol in 1868. 151 years, we're still singing it as you just heard it so beautifully presented. In the midst of total exhaustion, when he was drained of all of his physical energy, when he was drained of all of his emotional energy, when he was drained of all of his spiritual energy, Brooks found peace. And he wrote that carol that is still sung 151 years later. In the immediate aftermath of hatred, division, death, destruction, he found peace as he reclaimed the peace and the hope of Jesus. You know, I'm so glad this morning that we're not fighting a physical civil war. But I would contend this morning that America is just as fractured today as we were in 1861. We're just not shooting at each other. I would contend today that we are in as much chaos as we've ever been. American and allied forces fight the war on terrorism even as we worship, even as I speak. Terrorist groups and lone wolves seek the literal destruction of anyone, anywhere who does not espouse their radical religious or political agenda. And here at home, well, we're divided. We don't just disagree, we hate. We don't just disagree, we're divided. We don't just disagree, we label each other and then thereby dehumanize each other. In my time on this earth, it appears to me that we're in as much turmoil, as much division, as we were between 1861 and 1865. And even if you would not agree with that, you don't have to talk to too many people to realize that personal inner turmoil rips people apart. That even if we're not conflicted with somebody to our outside, we're conflicted with ourselves on the inside. And would it not be so easy to panic? Would it not be so easy to become downright depressed? But I'm reminded through God's Word, and I'm reminded by those who have experienced the treacherous roads before us, that it's not the external circumstances that challenge us as it is whether we have accepted the peace of Jesus. I challenge you during Advent. Put away the Christmas cards. Turn off the Christmas carols. And read the Christmas story from the Bible. Read Luke's first. His is the more romantic. Then go back and read Matthew's. You talk about hate. You talk about chaos. You talk about destruction. A little twerp king feared his reign, so he had every young boy 2 years and younger killed, trying to get rid of Jesus. The world into which Jesus came was not a Christmas card. The world into which Jesus came was not a Christmas carol. The world into which Jesus came was filled with hate. It was filled with division. It was filled with chaos. Yet what did Jesus do? He came and he said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. Jesus came so that I hope when Gail reads the Advent readings for the mornings, I hope you don't tune her out because you've heard these before. Into a world of chaos, into a world of destruction, into a world of hate, Jesus came to bring us hope. Jesus came to bring us peace. Jesus came to bring us joy. And the way we have all of that hope, peace, and joy is encapsulated in the love that Jesus came to bring. So this morning, the world is still going to be full of chaos. If you go home and you're a glutton for punishment and you turn on Fox or CNN when you get home, you're going to hear your fill of chaos and destruction and division. But if we accept into our hearts the Christ born at Christmas, we experience a hope the world don't get. We experience a peace the world cannot comprehend. We experience a joy that we ourselves cannot even explain. And we're able to love even the unlovable because the center candle, Christ, loved us while we were still yet sinners and died for us. So this morning, if we have the hearts to recognize it and we have the hearts to trust it, the unexplainable hope, peace, joy, and love of Jesus can embrace us regardless of the outward circumstances. So through the service of Holy Communion, perhaps the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ may be experienced anew by each of us, and by the renewing of our hearts, we may become instruments of that hope, that peace, that joy, that love. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know the world in which we live. It's a dangerous, chaotic, hurtful place. And Lord, even for us who believe in you and trust in you, it's so easy when we are not intentional to allow ourselves to succumb to the hatred and division, to the fear and the chaos. And so Lord, forgive us for when we have. And Lord, this morning, so fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may become far less susceptible to it. And that through this season of Advent, your hope, your peace, your joy, your love would so grow into us that in the little bit of the world in which we operate, the little bit of the world where we may have some influence, your hope, your peace, your joy, your love may flow through us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. You will find your liturgy for Holy Communion on the inside pages of your bulletin insert. Would remind you that everyone is invited to participate in the sacrament regardless of church membership or denominational affiliation. This morning, with the garland on the altar rails, we will receive communion by the walk-by method. Just as a reminder, come down the center aisle to receive the sacrament and then return by the outside aisle of the side of the church where you were sitting. If any need to be served in your pew, just please let the usher know and they will tell us. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.